Just like listening seems to be a lost art form, so does focus. We're so used to skimming that we don't read anything deeply. We can't go more than a few minutes without being distracted by our phones. The result is some pretty shallow and insignificant work. But what are some ways, some simple ways, we can improve our focus? Also, Ron Reyes joins us on the podcast today and fills us in on his story that started several months ago, and you're definitely going to want to hear that. You're listening to the Man They Remember podcast, where we're encouraging men to be the kind of man people will remember when we're gone. We're tearing down the Macho Man stereotype one episode at a time. Go to mantheyremember.com for more information. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Nice to have you guys today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing good. Yeah. Doing pretty good. Glad to be back on the podcast today. It's been a while.
Paul Cool Voice Reyes is here. Been a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's cold today.
I know. It's lamenting about my morning chill I can't shake. So I got my coffee and a lot of layers.
Need an electric blanket? Do you have an electric blanket at home?
I would love one right now, actually. We have one, but we kind of put it away for the summer, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think we jumped the gun.
Yeah, it's not summer yet here.
No, it's still kind of nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, today's supposed to be like 70, so that's exciting.
Right, yeah. And then tomorrow's in the 50s.
Yeah, and raining.
It's 100% chance of rain.
Yeah.
But Ron's here with us as well. How you doing, Ron?
I'm doing much better.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what we want to start off with is getting the backstory on Ron, because last time he was on the podcast, we were talking about not knowing what was going on, still trying to figure out what was happening. And and that time, you figured out what was happening and went through something fairly serious.
Fairly is a good word.
That's a good way to put it. And last time I was here, we were talking about like that we were trying to figure out an autoimmune type, you know, disorder, because I was having these aches and pains, and these nightly fevers, and just no energy. And so we pursued that since November.
Mm-hmm.
And then in March, the end of February, I started getting like I was going to pass out. Every time I stood up, I was like, I'm going to pass out. So I'd have to sit back down. And so we called our doctor, and they were like, well, our recommendations go to the ER. And so I was like, no, I don't want to go to the ER, because I've done that before. And it was just kind of like, right. You know, and this wasn't totally new. I had had kind of some issues with feeling very, you know, lightheaded and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was also dealing with some nausea. And so I was like, well, I should probably get, in case I need to get some sort of like something for nausea, like a shot or something. Because there was this concern that I was potentially having a GI bleed, like I possibly was, because of the medications that I was taking, and we were switching over from like prednisone to a new medication that was a new I don't remember what it's called.
Methotrexate,
that's it. And I know, I was like, I said it 100 times to PJ. Paul. So I went in, and they were like, yeah, you know, we're going to do tons of labs and try to figure out what's going on. Cause I was starting to develop a fever and whatnot. And so they said, well, we're gonna admit you. And I was like, no, okay, I'm not doing that. And I said, listen, this isn't nothing new or anything new. And so I said, I'll just come back and do whatever test you want, mm-hmm. you know, outpatient. And they're like, no, you need to stay. And Kathy, my wife, was like, yeah, you're gonna stay. So I got admitted. We found out that we were looking at labs that looked at my heart markers, or what we call the cardiac markers, and they were elevated, which kind of indicated my heart was stressed. My troponins were up. And so they did an echocardiogram, and that's when they found that I had like a congenital type defect in my aortic valve. So the heart valves are supposed to have like these leaflet like doors, basically. So like it's either two or three leaflets that flap up, open and close when the heart's beaten. Mm-hmm. And the aortic valve is supposed to have three, and I only had two. And so it was causing what they call regurgitation. Mm-hmm. It was causing the blood to, instead of staying in that chamber while the other part of the heart beat, it was leaking through. And they also were concerned that I had what they would call like vegetation on that valve. And usually that's like, you know, bacteria buildup or whatever. And so they were like, we're gonna take you over to Emmanuel from, you know, across the river from Salmon Creek Hospital here. And they're going to look at your, you know, look at your heart, mm-hmm. and possibly do open heart surgery. Mm. And I was like, no, I just can't believe they would do that. So,
excuse me?
Yeah.
Come again?
Yeah. So they did what's called a TEE. It's basically like an echocardiogram, which is echocardiograms like ultrasound, kind of like you see on all those baby mm-hmm. videos. There's the head. Mm-hmm.
This Did is they find like, a head in your heart anywhere?
There's the defect. Yeah. And they basically look at it from, they go down your throat and they look at it from behind, because not something you always think about, but when you do an imaging from the top of your chest down into the heart, you're only looking at one side of the heart. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these, you know, other areas of the heart that can cause problems are on the backside. And so they basically go down your throat and look with an ultrasound on that side. So that's what they did. And they found a bunch of vegetation. They said, yeah, this is, you need open heart surgery and you need to have that valve replaced. And they said, and I was still fighting fevers at that time. And they were like, yeah, you have what's called endocarditis, or just an infection of your heart. And it's causing you to be basically septic. And so your whole body is getting, I think they found it to be streptococcus. So it was, they started me on IV antibiotics. Mm-hmm. They put a big central line in through my left arm called a PICC line. And they started me on antibiotics. So we were looking at doing the open heart surgery. I thought like, the next day, as soon as or the day I got, you know, like they'd have the sirens going and just coming in hot, you know,
throw them
on the table,
prep the OR.
But no, they were like, the infectious disease doctor was like, you know, you should probably do at least a week of antibiotics. And the surgeon was like, well, we should probably get rid of this problem. You know, and they were kind of going back and forth. And so they decided to do a week. And they were even talking about doing a month of antibiotics before I did the surgery. So I think the week was kind of the compromise. Mm-hmm. So they brought me in on March, February, March 14th. Mm-hmm. And they had me like second or third on case or something like that. And so, you know, everything is just like when you're waiting to get this stuff done, you're just like, why are we waiting?
Right.
Why? I mean, you know, and so, and it was, I guess I was getting pretty out of it as according to Paul and my wife who were there. Mm-hmm. Paul is also a
delirious
nurse.
Is how I would describe it.
Pleasantly delirious.
Yeah. A fun kind of delirious
he was a joy, I will say, yeah. As he's like,
how are you doing?
You
I'm
know,
good.
Who are you? No, not quite that bad, but yeah. he was pretty bad.
Yeah. So it was getting, we were having several problems. My spleen. So I was basically that vegetation was kind of like flaking off and causing these little, you know, we call them infarctions, like little heart attacks, or heart attack is an infarction of the heart valves or the heart veins. And so we had one that went into my spleen, or my spleen was partially, you know, the blood flow in there was obstructed, and so I was having pain in my left abdomen, and then my kidneys were showing signs of having some infarction there. Hmm. And so it was they were like, you know, we need to get this going. So they went ahead and cut open the sternum. They sawed it open and then changed it out with a mechanical heart valve, that aortic valve. So that was kind of like the beginning of, it was definitely the end of the fevers. The mm-hmm. fevers went away. And I was having them like nightly to every other night. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would just be like, I'd be really tired by about 7 o'clock at night, and then mm-hmm. I'd wake up in a sweat. I mean, it was just constantly mm-hmm. having fevers, which at the time my rheumatologist for the autoimmune kind of hunt was like, yeah, you'll get fevers because you have inflammation issues and your body's fighting it or not fighting it. So, or causing it. So, that wasn't a huge surprise. But then once we found out about the echocardiogram and then all this stuff with the endocarditis, it was definitely, they were like, yeah, this was definitely the problem. And it's been, 6 weeks mm-hmm. now since I had the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing the cardiac rehab. I still can't use like my upper body, you know, for lifting more than 10 pounds and keeping my arms in
mm-hmm.
the tube, they call it. So it's like you're in a big tube.
Mm.
So that I let my sternum heal.
Mm-hmm.
And
so no jumping jacks for a while.
No jumping jacks. I mean, you can. It's just in the tube. It's very small. So, yeah, every 3 days I go to the gym at the hospital, and then every day off I go to the gym down the street mm-hmm. and try to get my strength back. And it's been getting progressively better and been able to do stuff. And then mid-May, so about 2 more weeks or so, we'll talk to the doctor who did the surgery and decide how much longer until I can go back to work. Mm. So it was a huge surprise.
Right.
And it's, you know, I mean, in hindsight, everything checks out,
mm-hmm.
you know, but at the time we were like, you know, the whole rheumatology, you know, division of or discipline is just so vague, you know, in a lot of ways. So they're like, yeah, this is how it could be. We mm-hmm. may not know for, you know, years mm-hmm. what's going on with you. It's just, we'll just keep giving you prednisone, you know, steroids and stuff, mm-hmm. which was probably making it my endocarditis worse. And
yeah. Yep.
And until it goes away, and sometimes we'll never know. And, mm. you know, and so that's what we were, that was our plan. We were just going to go ahead and just keep taking prednisone, keep, you know, keep getting sick every night. But it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. It could have been a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
All those infarctions that went into my organs mm-hmm. could have gone up into my brain, and it could have been a very serious predicament for, you know, indefinitely. So mm-hmm. it was definitely, you know, God's blessing on mm-hmm. me to. And all the support I've had has been amazing, you know, with the church and family and friends, meals. it's been good. So
yeah, I can speak from watching from the outside with watching Ron. So Ron's my brother, mm-hmm. and as he slowly,
thanks man,
progressively,
I got you, Ron. Acknowledging that.
Slowly descending into this illness that mm-hmm. has completely crippled him, completely, you know, made him have to take off work, can't function, his mental clarity slowly declining over mm-hmm. time, and then...
Are we sure that was because
what?
Of
what?
Sorry, bro.
I was sharp as a dagger.
That's right. And, you know, with no end in sight. That mm-hmm. that's the hard thing. It's the doctor's like, well, it might be several years, and we'll maybe figure it out. Maybe you'll get better.
Yeah.
Good luck, you
right.
know.
Right.
And so, just seeing his life slowly falling apart around him was so heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. So then, this terrible news that he has this heart problem. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is terrible, but this is great.
Right, right.
Because we can fix this.
Yeah, there's an answer.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, in just seeing this 180 in Ron's life has just mm-hmm. been, you know, such an answer to prayer. So awesome mm-hmm. to see, mm-hmm. you know, that Ron Witt is back. You know, it's just,
mm-hmm. that's right.
It's great. So, yeah. That's just been so encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And, wonderful to watch God work that way. So,
yes. Oh, please. Woo! Please.
No, I echo that. It's been really fun to see you rebound, because you were kind of in a downward spiral there for a very long time. And you maybe didn't see it because you were in it every moment of every day. But,
yeah.
You know, us seeing, you know, me seeing you once or twice a week at most. Mm-hmm. I could see a difference, but then almost immediately after your surgery, whenever we saw you, even the first time I saw you in the parking lot, you know, you looked better,
yeah,
and you were a lot more present. So I'm glad it's fixed.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it was definitely one of those things. It was. I mean, I remember even thinking back then, you know, when you want to find that answer. And, you know, we were looking, we actually went to an oncologist, cancer doctor, and we were like, mm-hmm. you know, I would be like, I'd be even happy to know if it was a cancer that we could, you know, start working on that, you know, and, as terrible as that sounds, but it was just like, not knowing. Yeah. So, so now, yeah, there's a lot more hope, and mm-hmm. it's been... And I've had a lot of people say that, though. My wife was like, as soon as you finish surgery, you know, you look better and stuff. Now it's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Did I look that bad? I mean, it really is. Like, when you're in it, you just kind of like, I'm just tired all mm-hmm. the time, or I'm just, you know, yeah, you just kind of got used to it. So that's why I was like, yeah, I near passing out events are normal. I'm not worried about, can I go home and... We'll just come back, and they're like, oh, yeah, it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Surreal.
Especially being a nurse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In the middle of it, too, mm-hmm. an ICU nurse, so that.
Yeah, because you know everything that's going on.
I know
everything they're saying.
Everything.
Until that point, I got delirious, I guess. Huh?
That's right.
What are we doing?
Sir, you don't know what's going on right now.
Do you have any video of that?
Get back in bed.
I know, that's right. Running down the hall naked. No.
Yes.
Mr. Reyes.
Yeah. No, it was, yeah, I don't remember any of it.
Yeah, that reminds me. We were on a drive with our kids. We went to look at the tulips, then we got ice cream, and then we took the long way home, went over the north part of Lake Merwin, and then came over Yale Bridge and went back through Shilachi and Amboy and all that stuff. Yeah, and while we're out there, there's this guy who's just kind of wandering right along the side of the road, and he looked high. And as soon as we get right up on him, he drops his pants. We're like, kids, close your eyes. Close your eyes. And so,
wow.
So you didn't have any of those kinds of events.
They wouldn't even give me my pants.
No, that's right. Nothing on the backside.
Take them away. That's
right. Well, I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're doing well and on a road to recovery. And you've got a big, cool scar now that you can point to.
The summer at the pool will be interesting.
Yeah.
Every time I show my kids, especially Luke, my youngest, he's like, oh, Dad. Don't. <He's> like,
okay, that's right. Do you have any video? Did you get the video of the surgery?
No, being a nurse, I find that stuff interesting. I'd be kind of like.
I find it interesting.
That
too.
Would be cool.
Yeah,
that would be intense footage, though.
Right,
that
would for be. Sure. Yeah,
yeah. Of your own insides, that would be.
Yeah.
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 I'd be interested, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump into our topic today. We're talking about focus. Something that another one of those things. I'm getting a call here. I think I've got a dentist appointment, and they just sent me a message saying we're ready for you now, but my appointment's not till 10, so they're going to have to wait.
That's right.
Do this on the phone.
I know. Yeah.
Someday, yeah. Someday they'll probably like have some kind of device that they mail you, and you put it in your mouth, and then the dentist gets on you.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Be a lot less anxiety inducing right. that way.
Nice. Yeah.
There's the idea. There's the invention for you. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. If you chase two rabbits, both will escape. What people say, what people do, and what they say they do are entirely different things. Robbie and I, before he went on his trip, we were talking about listening and how listening is kind of a lost art form these days, and focus is another one of those things that it seems like we're not, as a society, all that great at anymore. We're very easily distracted. It's very hard to maintain focus, and there's a huge rise in popularity of meditation, primarily because it helps you focus. It helps you retrain your mind on being able to focus on a task and working through something. Have you guys noticed any struggles to focus in your own lives?
Oh, yeah. No, I think a big part of it is probably the, how the multimedia that we have at our fingertips, and it's very, very easy to, you'll jump from, story to story, video to, meme to everything. And so I think that has caused us to definitely lose focus. I mean, just because everything, you can have it in an instant.
Right. And even just reading, I've found myself a lot lately, skimming articles and that kind of a thing. And then even, emails and texts. And that's one of the things Robbie and I talked about was, sending a message and then someone asks a question that you just answered in the text, and you need a big up arrow that that's flashing.
Yeah.
But we're not focused in a lot of areas of life, and I think it's starting to have some consequences for our society. Mm-hmm. We're not digging into things that are deep. We just kind of remain on the bounce off the surface kind of a level on a regular basis. How do you handle focus? Are you good at focusing?
It's focus is tough. It's tough in this day and age that we're like Ron's saying, you got a computer multimedia powerhouse in your pocket 24/7 that you constantly are kind of going to. And it's like the expert in helping you not focus on anything, because you're jumping to 50 different topics within 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, there's times that
how many times you get out your phone because you wanted to look up something and then there were so many notifications and then you forget what you're looking for.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And then, you know, I find myself even like I get so used to that, that when if I have a moment where I'm not doing something or I don't have a task or I'm not on my phone, I'll be like, I'll just instinctively grab my phone and start doing anything. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why don't I put it down? And then I stop and I'm like, just take in what's going on around me a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I'm like, oh, I lost focus. And there's a fire in the living room. You know, right. I got to put that out.
Right.
You know, you kind of, you lose, so easy to lose focus on what's right in front of you when you have the world right in your pocket. So that's been tough to force myself to, you know, take a minute, take more than a minute to really focus in on life that's right in front of me.
So. Right.
Or one subject when you have, you know, 10 on your phone that you're flipping back and forth on.
And another downfall of the phone that really doesn't help with focus is, you know, we expect immediate responses.
Right.
Or most people expect immediate responses. So you could be right in the middle of something, you know, really that takes a lot of concentration and you get a message and you don't respond because you're right in the middle of something. And then they send another text or, you know, then they call like my dentist right now.
Yeah. Yep.
I know.
Hey, I want your attention. Right, I want you here. Right now. Well, I'm in the middle of something, so I'm not going to make your schedule. But when you multiply that by 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 people, it can be really hard to find a moment of focus. I was glad actually the iPhone, the most recent update, they put a do not disturb mode on the phone in the operating system. So they're actually trying to help, which is kind of ironic because that's the device that's causing really all of the problems.
Right. But, I know.
Right. They acknowledge it to a degree, which is a good start. I mean, if they want to, I mean, I think that's probably why you have so many people interested in meditation is that people realize that they're flighty or they can't focus or they can't, you know, they're constantly having this need to be on their phone or whatever it is. And so I think meditation is kind of like, you know, either subconscious or consciously people are like, I need to focus. I need to start thinking about, you know, things in my life that are important.
Right. Well, they talk about it like any muscle that needs training, but it's just, you have to, if you haven't spent a lot of time focusing on things, then it's a discipline you have to develop. And, you know, you're not likely to, if you've never had a disciplined mind or disciplined focus, you're not likely to all of a sudden be able to just focus on long tasks overnight. You're going to need to build yourself up into that habit and routine. But it's a challenge, I know.
Big time.
What do you think are some of the consequences of a lack of focus?
Well, I think, you know, if you're going to do a job right, you have to really focus on it. So I think, you know, I think of my kids that I'll be like, hey, we need you guys to do this task or this job. And they'll be done in like, you know, record time, like 5 minutes, they're done with, wait a minute, you finished all of that? You got your laundry switched and everything? And they're like, yep. You know, and
sure.
And I'll have to go by and go, wait a minute, let's look at this. Look, you didn't get your, you know, you didn't get this done or this, your clothes, you know, if you doing laundry, you know. So I think that, you know, like, it's like instead of like, okay, think about what you got to do to get it done, right? And then, you know, and then you just kind of check off the boxes. But without that focus, I mean, I think you really just kind of rush through it or you're just thinking about something else when you should be really thinking about what you're working on.
Yeah, it's kind of like our work days around here when we come together and we have a bunch of tasks up on the whiteboard to get done. And, you know, I usually pick a task that I'm going to work on and try to focus on getting accomplished that day But inevitably what happens on that day is, you know, someone will have a question. Well, you know, how do you want this done? Or where's the tool for this? Or do we have such and such? Or, you know, where do you want us to move? Or, you know, all of these questions. And so, you know, I'll be out front working on a project, and someone will come get me, and I'll come inside, and then, you know, then someone else will have a question, and someone else will have a question. Like 45 minutes later, I'm finally back around to working on my project again for another 3 or 4 minutes. And then, I do the rounds again. And most of the time I come back to the project I was on. Now, where was I? Like, what was I doing? And then it takes me 3 or 4 minutes just to get back into wherever I was when I left. And then by that time, someone's come and asked another question.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's probably a common occurrence. But how do we change that? How do we become more focused? I mean, we talked about meditation, but what are some things we could do that would actually help us be able to focus more?
You know, I think...
What do you think?
Well, that's a great question, right, David. Let me answer that.
Ron just passed the buck to his brother.
I'll take this one, team. Yeah. So I think to really focus, we're like you said earlier, we're out of practice. Mm-hmm. It's not as natural as it once was, you know. Like meditation, you gotta make yourself. Mm-hmm. You gotta say, okay, I'm gonna meditate.
Medication might be
medication
one way to
do it. Can help focus too, you know. But you have to almost force yourself to slow down and be more purposeful in your focus. So, like for me, there's some things that I'll do. I will purposely be like, I am going to put my phone away. I'm going to put it on the counter, and I'm going to just be present. Mm-hmm. I'm just not going to touch it. I'm not going to. If I get a phone call, I'll answer a phone call.
Just lit up, by the way.
Oh, hold on. I got a text message, guys. All right. Sorry. All right, I'm back.
It legitimately did just light up.
It really did. I got 3 text messages.
Right in the middle of here.
Just now. So,
hold on.
It's a great example.
Is this live?
No. I know. Yeah. But yeah, you know, just like purposely like putting it away. Put it not in my pocket where I'm going to instinctively grab it.
Mm-hmm.
Just get it out of sight, out of mind. And, you know, like I said, if I hear it ringing, great. I'll answer a phone call. Not that I ever get phone calls anymore. Mm-hmm. It's more Marriott that wants to talk to me very much. I'll do that. I will purposely, you know, schedule in time to meditate, mm-hmm. to pray, mm-hmm. to, you know, lately I've been doing yoga, which yoga is great because its focus is on almost being present and clearing your mind. And it's something that I rarely get to experience. And of course there's the stretches and all that, which feels great, but, just the practice of like, okay, being guided through, I have an app. I use my phone for this. Sorry. You know, but you know, they kind of like deep breath, clear your mind. And, you know, it just kind of engages this part of my brain that I don't usually is this clearing of my thoughts, ignoring all other distractions and, you know, making myself focus. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like, you know, I feel refreshed. I feel good. I'm like, okay, I can think more clearly now without the world knocking at my door.
Right. Yeah, you know, we've quickly adapted to these smartphones and worked them into every arena of our lives and now live by the rule that we can't be without them at any moment of the day. Mm-hmm. And it's some kind of a lie we believe that...
I got another deck. I'm just going to throw this thing in the river right now.
This lie we believe, like, I need to have it on me at all times because, you know, somebody's going to need me. Mm-hmm, and, you know, you guys are nurses. I'm a pastor. The number of times that it's an actual urgent emergency that somebody needs me to respond to right now. It might be emergent in their mind, but the honest answer is it's not really that urgent. We don't need to deal with this moment. I can wait until tonight, or I can wait until tomorrow, which was how we always used to operate before we had smartphones and email and right. all those things. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to call and interrupt them this evening. I'll talk to them tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. But,
so we used to have a little bit more patience. But Ron, how do you work on focus? Do you have any thoughts?
Well, I think that I was going to say put away the phones. That was kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like my daughter, who's 18, she has a phone, and my wife and I have a phone. And so she, you know, has a hard time sleeping sometimes. And so we make her turn her phone into our room before she goes to bed, because she just can't help but to start texting. I mean, her friends, like, they don't need any sleep.
And, right.
they're just constantly texting and or they're watching shows, or, you know, I mean, there's just so much more that you can do with a phone. So they we'll turn them in, no phones at the dinner table, stuff like that, because that's when we focus on each other and the day and what we've been doing or want to do. And I think that's sometimes when it comes to, like, people, though, I'll just put on music. It'll be through my phone, but I'll have music on, and then I can really get into projects, like yard projects,
right,
working projects, and you know, that people try to talk to you, and you're just like, you're just doing your own thing,
right?
So they're like, yeah, he's got his headphones in. So, so in a way, I mean, of course, I don't get as many texts as, like, my daughter or my wife, or, you know, but there are, you know, advantages to just having music playing in the background, or, you know, on your stereo, whatever you got.
Right.
And just really getting into what you're doing.
Yeah. My daughter, my oldest, she, you know, she gets texts all the time, and we've always had a rule, you know, no phones in the bedroom. And so when they go to bed, you know, she puts her phone, charges her phone on the kitchen island, and we'll just hear that thing until you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, buzzing, you know, every three or four minutes, you know, and she's in all these different chats and stuff like that. It's just, I can't imagine being able to sleep, you know, if you're in one of those and you've got your phone right by your bed. And that's, I think, part of the problem is we don't sleep well either, because we've got these devices next to us and they're waking us up all the time. So then we're more tired, which means we have less mental energy to focus.
Yeah.
So it's a cascading system of problems. But yeah, I think, you know, one of the biggest things our society needs to learn, And I've talked a lot about this. We've talked about it on the podcast, but it's boundaries with technology. Like, it's come into the world so quickly and flooded the markets so fast that there have been very few voices in this conversation saying, "Hey, hold on a minute. Let's back off from that thing that you now spend, you know, Generation Z, which is the generation after millennials." The last statistic I heard, that the younger generation are spending anywhere from 6 to 8, sometimes 9 hours a day on their phones.
Wow.
Like, that's a lot of your life spent on that thing.
It's a full-time job.
Right. Yeah. They're going to be ready to work without even,
I know,
because they're already working on their phones. But, you know, we just haven't thought very deeply about how to deal with some of these problems. And that's probably the desire and the design of the companies. Let's keep them overwhelmed with this stuff, and they'll keep buying, you know, and immersing themselves in our technology without thinking about it. And somewhere along the way, we've got to come back to our senses and say, you know what, we think these things are making our lives better, but we're actually missing out on most of our lives because of these devices. There's a whole lot of life that gets lived outside of a smartphone. But that's my soapbox. So.
It's good.
I got a quote here. It says, "The great mystery isn't that people do things badly, but that they occasionally do a few things well. The only thing that is universal is incompetence. Strength is always specific. Nobody ever commented, for example, that the great violinist Joshua Heifetz probably couldn't play the trumpet very well."
Good. Good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, focus, he's arguing, you know, focus 70% on your strengths and don't be afraid to focus on what you're good at. And I think that's one easy way to get started in focusing is something, one of your strengths, you know, mm-hmm. focus on doing that for an extended period of time. And see how deep into that you can get and get into a flow and you kind of lose track of time. I think those are the things that we're good at, that we enjoy, that draw us into that state of flow. And I think that's a good way to get started.
Yeah. Yeah. Take what you're good at, what you enjoy, and start there. Mm-hmm. Put some mental energy into that and less into what ultimately doesn't really matter, right? Which is, you know, all the distractions.
You know, you talk about time theft in the workplace. One of the things that I'll often do, because a lot of my work is thinking and studying, and so on my computer, you know, it's just as easy on the computer to get distracted and have all these things pop up. I turn on at least an hour, you know, of do not disturb. So I can at least have an hour of focus where I'm not being potentially drawn into conversations or those kinds of things. And it's not that hard. It feels like I'm being unthoughtful. It feels like I'm saying, well, I don't really care about you right now. I need to focus on doing this thing. But the truth is, before all of technology came along, we would spend 8 hours a day working at our jobs and not talking to our friends or not talking to our family and all of that stuff. And we somehow survived.
I know. We made it.
Yeah. Although there have always been people that spent all day on the phone, like church secretaries and spreading gossip and those kinds of things.
I guess that's true.
Did you hear about
I know. Mr. Johnson, did you see him trim those hedges?
Let's see here. 25% on new things. So focus 70% on strengths. Focus 25% on new things. If you work on new things, then you'll grow as a leader, then those new things can actually become a strength. But then one of the things that he recommends is only focus 5% on areas of weakness. And the temptation is to want to spend all of our time on things that we're not good at so that we get better at them. But sometimes there are things we're not going to be good enough at to really merit a strong amount of our time. So we need to do some things, but we don't need to spend a massive amounts of time on them. We can focus on other things.
It's true. It's true. So many things that, like, YouTube is probably, I don't know, the worst, best thing that's happened to me. It's because you look up everything. I mean, it used to be like, I don't know how to, you know, fix this part of the car.
It's the second rated search engine in the world after Google.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's totally, because I mean, it's even, you know, you have someone explain it to you and I don't know.
And
I
show
mean,
you it's, a video mm-hmm. of what to do.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to use it all the time when I was working on my Sentra.
Yeah.
Find a video. Somebody's done it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on there.
So
which is good.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's nice, but then there's all those other things.
I know. Right. But then you get sucked into a million other videos. You're like, ooh, look at this. Mm-hmm. You can learn to be an electrician. Like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know about lions, right? And lion tamers. Have we talked about that before? The reason they use a stool when they're taming lions is because the lion can't focus on three or four legs at one time.
Mm. Oh,
so
I think I remember that.
It gets
that.
Paralyzed by the multiple objects and gets distracted because it can't focus on one of them. So it, you know, backs away and it has a way to tame the lion, supposedly. I don't know if I want to try that out.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I feel like that could go wrong.
Right.
Oh, well, it's focusing. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Here we go.
I'd want something in my pocket just in case.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
At least a tranquilizer dart of some kind.
Like some lion spray, you know, like the bear spray, but lion spray. The lion flavor.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys were here. We went through Yellowstone 1 year, and, you know, they have those signs that, you know, tune to 6:80 a.m. for park information. And so we did that. And he said, huh, let's just turn. We're here for the park. Let's see what they're saying on the park. And one of the things they said on the park, my wife just reminded me of this last week, is bear spray is proven to be effective 9 out of 10 times. Yeah, but what about the 10th guy?
I know.
Right. Like, so you're telling me to use the bear spray, and there's a 10% chance that it is not going to
That's
work.
That's right. Yep. Like,
now maybe we just stay away from the bears.
Like, yeah. We don't talk about the 10th man.
Right.
There.
Maybe they're taking into account like aim.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Well, someone did explain it to me that is because you're supposed to carry it on your. On your belt, mm-hmm. like a gun, mm-hmm. and they actually have you supposedly practice shooting it, firing it off from your belt, so you don't have to pull it off and spray it because it takes too much time. So you're supposed to just have it on your belt and then hit the bear.
Interesting. Yeah.
So that's what someone told me. I don't know if that's actually true.
Yeah, shooting from the hip—that's an advanced bear technique. Mm-hmm. I'll have to. Work
I think
on
I
that.
Would just have it in my hand all the time, just like walking around, like I was in Jurassic
double
Park. Double
fist the bear spray.
There was a video that I saw on Facebook last week of a guy in Yellowstone. There was a bull buffalo out in the middle of the road, and I guess he just was done with waiting for this bull to get out of the way, and so he gets out and is basically like bullfighting this buffalo, taunting it and getting it to chase him, and then the buffalo backs off, and then he gets up close to it again, just he's trying to get it off the road, and like the bull's got, you know, horns. Yeah. you really think this is a great idea?
No. Yep, certain death, mm-hmm. maybe, you know, if you're not quick enough.
The goring, yeah.
If you're in Yellowstone, you know, and you're usually, people don't drive through Yellowstone because it's fast. It's not like the fastest way to get somewhere.
Nope. Right.
So maybe you're there to see the buffalo and you can just kind of be okay watching it.
Mm-hmm. Focus, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
focus
right.
on the buffalo.
Good example of focus.
And that does bring up one last thing, you know, rest, you know, taking time to rest. I've noticed when I haven't been resting lately, you know, the more tired, the more drained I get when I'm not taking a day of rest every single week. Mm-hmm. It's so much harder to go through another week and maintain focus. And I think our minds need that day. One day, mm-hmm. as much of a technology-free day as you can come up with to just detox from all of that. I'm getting really serious about our need to detox from technology. And I think it's not just contributed to our inability to focus. It's contributed to a whole lot of problems. And I think if we can start helping people say it's okay. It's okay if you're not addicted to every device that comes out on the market. You don't need it to consume your life. You can do other things.
Put it down. Yep. Let it go.
And same thing for our kids, you know, especially our boys, you know, being the bad guy and saying, no, yeah, that's enough. Mm-hmm. Go find something else to do.
Yep.
But
boy. Yeah. That's always a big deal. Especially it's like as soon as the weekend hits, school's out, they're mm-hmm. just like they'll get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning to go down and play video games or, you know, whatever they want to do on and their time off. But man, school day comes, it's hard to get them up by 7
that's right.
in the morning. You're just like, geez.
We didn't sleep all weekend, Dad. No. I can't get up.
I can't remember. An author that I was just listening to said his mom got him a video game console, but somehow either made or bought an electric outlet where the cord went in this box and locked in the box, and then it was a timer, so it would go off, and so there was no way, you know, to get the cord out of the box without cutting the cord.
Oh, and I thought, interesting.
Yeah, that'd be a really good device to have.
That's interesting.
No, I'm gonna shut the, especially if you can make it work with your smartphone, so you could just do it right
now. I know, really.
Right in the middle of their epic battle on video games.
That's right.
Boom.
Interesting.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea. Hmm.
All right. Well, that's all we've got for this episode. We're just about out of time. So thanks, you guys, for joining us today.
Yeah.
Ron, glad you're back.
Good to be back.
Mm-hmm. Back to it.
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah.
Well, you can find us online, facebook.com/ManTheyRemember, ManTheyRemember.com. You can join our mailing list by going to ManTheyRemember.com and get notified of the latest episode by email. Since we, you don't have to be on your device to get the latest episode. You can get it other ways. Yeah, so
there you go.
If you would share the word, we really appreciate it. Just tell your buddies that, hey, there's this podcast with these brothers that have really cool voices, and he just talked about his his open heart surgery. You got to check it out.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's a good one. It's a good one.
Let's spread the word. We really appreciate it. Until next time, take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Man They Remember podcast. You can find us online at www.mantheyremember.com, facebook.com/ManTheyRemember, and instagram.com/ManTheyRemember. Thanks for leaving a review and your rating on Apple Podcasts. And most importantly, thanks for sharing this podcast with your friends.